Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Concierge Coaches Show. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Bruce and I are excited to have a wonderful guest today with us on our show. I'd like to introduce Patricia Hayden. Patricia is an executive coach and a business consultant. She's a partner with Intercultural Consulting. And she works in multiple languages, actually, to partner with busy global executives. And she works in the United States, Latin America, and Europe. And we are so happy to have you on the show today, Patricia. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here, Cindy and Bruce.
And I also wanted to mention that you are based out of Dallas, Texas. And so that's important that people know what part of the country. But since you are a globetrotter, why don't you tell us a little bit, Patricia, sort of a little bit about your background and how you got into this type of business.
Certainly. Well, I'm based in Dallas now, and I'm originally from the East Coast. And being based out of Dallas allows me to travel quickly and easily just about anywhere, particularly throughout the United States and heading south to Latin America. And Europe, I love the trips, so I don't mind the jet lag. I didn't intend to necessarily become an executive coach, but as you follow life's path, and if you do what you love, it comes to you. And
nice.
All I knew as a young child was that I loved language, foreign languages, and when you love language, you love the cultures that they represent. So my education, both on the East Coast and in Los Angeles, was always international in focus and focused on business, language, and culture. So started out with government work that required languages and cultural knowledge, moved into private sector work that always required my language skills and international business, then moved into cross-cultural consulting, started my business, Intercultural Consulting, and then from there, through client requests, moved into executive coaching. So for the last 10 years or so, it's represented a larger and larger piece of my business. And Cindy, like you, because you are an outstanding coach, I've seen you in action.
Thank you so much.
Well, you are. I have seen you in action. And I love what I do. So to do it in a language that allows people to self-discover without struggling with English makes me happy. And obviously I work with people who speak English, but the language helps keep me connected to what I love as well.
I love that you said that, that the self-discovery and helping people without them having to struggle with the language, that's really heartfelt, because I do sometimes work with people who do struggle with English. And so the gift you're giving is you're showing up in the country of origin a lot of times, especially probably initially with your engagement, I would guess, and speaking, because you have the gift of multiple languages, you can actually coach in their language. That's incredible.
Well, you know, the goal is to help them, you know, provide the safe space, confidentially serve as sounding board, as an advocate for them, and to have them really open up and discover ways they would like to improve or what goals they would like to reach. It's helpful to not have to grapple for the words. And this is at the executive level as well. Yeah. So at all levels, whether it's life coaching or executive coaching, it's easier in your own language. So
absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
I can imagine that for sure. So your love of language, how young were you when that started for you?
I was probably 8 or 9, growing up on the East Coast of Maine. English, obviously, the culture there was largely, Irish immigrants, Italian immigrants, French Canadian immigrants, you know, from years ago. And in the summers, the French Canadians would come from Quebec, would come to the beach where we live to vacation. And of course, I was drawn to the children that didn't speak English.
Mm.
So,
that's interesting.
Oh, my heavens, they don't speak English. This is fascinating. So I made friends with...
That is cool. That's very cool that you just were drawn to it.
Yeah, and from there, I just, I became a language major. I took 3 languages in high school, became a language major, used languages in all of my positions throughout my career ever since. You know, that's do what wonderful. You love and the money will follow.
Yeah, that's what they say, right? It's good to follow your heart. But it's interesting that it started at such a young age, that spark to learn. You know, you were drawn to kids. And did you try to learn language from them at that age? Were you trying to grasp
course.
It?
Okay, cool. Of course. Oh, that was thrilling. Yeah.
Mm. So what I'm hearing you say is like starting with something that you loved, that you were just drawn to, has led you down a career path that has ended you up with business consulting internationally and executive coaching, and adding that coaching skill set to, you know, I guess to your profile or your business resume, right? I mean, how did that enhance you actually learning coaching skills? I mean, you were already doing it, I mean, obviously for years, but actually that unique skill set.
And well, it has helped me help others, which is also something that I always wanted to do. As I said, follow your path and things appear. And I was naturally helping individuals adapt, whether personally or professionally, to living and working in the United States. So you find yourself helping them, you know, understand their cultural background and what it's like to try to fit in the United States. And there are huge gaps. Pick the country that that a friend or colleague comes from. And it's human nature to want to fit in, and making that leap into life and work in the United States, whether they were my neighbors, personal friends, or of course clients, I wanted to be able to help them realize that they were not losing their mind. This is a legitimate cultural gap that they're experiencing, and how can we understand ourselves and understand those around us and bridge the gap. So can you see how that leads to coaching?
Oh, absolutely.
If coaching is designed to help the individual discover for themselves ways they would like to make change, they have the answers within. They just need someone to help them discover those answers.
Right.
And so ramp it up to busy executives, okay? The difference, say, between life coaching and executive coaching are that my executives are very busy, they are outcome-driven, they are quick results-driven. I work with one of the Big Four, which these leaders are extremely pressed for time, and many times they come to coaching with a check-the-box expectation.
Right, right.
You know that. I mean,
I live it. I live. Yeah,
you live it.
Right.
And I'm sure your executives come to you and say, "Just tell me what to do. Just what should I do?" And it's a process to get them to step back. And coaching doesn't tell them what to do. Good coaches ask good questions, and from those answers, they find their path forward. So what I love, and Cindy, I'm sure you, and Bruce, I'm sure you both encounter this, when you get a busy executive that wants to check the box after the first two or three sessions. I do face-to-face, a lot of Skype with South America. It's the next best thing to face-to-face. The aha that they have when they realize, oh, this isn't about you telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm,
I'm discovering for myself, and that's what we do.
It's fabulous. Isn't it fabulous? Because a good coach will listen. They will interject. They will make comments. They will clarify, but they won't give you the answer. But by working with them and processing with them and downloading, you get you can have a client completely, like I heard you say, you know, they want quick results, time pressed, but just one conversation about one specific issue without a coach giving you the answers, you can get there really quickly.
which is
really what they're looking for in the end. I mean, like, you know, I got to check the box. I got to get this one done, and I got to move on to the next, and I got to get this one done. And I think sometimes when somebody gives you the answers, it actually takes longer than if they sit still. It's just bizarre, isn't it? Versus sit still, comment, repeat, clarify, or, you know, boom, the person, you know, they get there. They get there so much quicker that way, which is really what's fascinating, I think, about coaching. And even those busy executives, you know, sometimes they're spinning with too much, you know, too. I call it too now. It's just all too. And just having a voice on the other end of the phone or Skype or, you know, because they're busy. A lot of times it's not in person. Can you tell us a little bit about how you start your, because I know you travel. I love listening to what you do for people who are trying to assimilate here domestically into the United States. And I've worked with other coaches who also do that kind of work. I have a heart for that. When you travel, do you always meet face-to-face with your, initially? How do you set it up?
Well, I usually set it up, tend to start with a 6-month engagement, sometimes 9-month engagement. On the C-suite level, it's usually nine months. And always start with a face-to-face. Rare are the times that I have kicked off an engagement over the phone or even by Skype. I build trust quickly. I want them to feel that trust quickly. The quicker we have that established, the more we can get in to what must be achieved and to help them find success.
Right.
So, I'll tell you how we get there also. But face to face, I usually set it up. No, I'm very different. Mine is not cookie cutter, Cindy. I go face to face, and I will spend 3 hours. If I'm traveling all the way to Buenos Aires,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I will try to line up more than one client in that day, you know, and having a lot of work from one of the big fours in that industry, it's easy for me to do, line up two or three. And I spend 3 hours. You as a coach and those that listen now that are coaches, that's a long time. Imagine how much you can accomplish, the groundwork you can lay, and the trust you can build over that period of time.
Oh, you can get a lot done.
Think of that. They know you well. You know them well. They trust you, and they're eager, you know, to move forward on the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's only 2 hours. But from there, then I move to calls each month or Skype each month, and those are only an hour.
And do you generally schedule like follow-ups like once a week or just once a month?
The face-to-face or call on these international assignments is once a month. And then in between, there's email exchanges. I have a variety of articles that I have them read depending on what we discover in the discovery phase of setting.
Working with at the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some of the things fill in with, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty to do in between, because once they have a vision of what success will look like, then it's easy for me to help them, not only through the conversations, But with the resources, the assessments, the data, the objective data that we can gather on them. I love assessments and you know, self-awareness raising books. I'll tell them to read a particular chapter. So since I do a lot of leadership coaching to get people to the next level, say they're already a partner at a firm and they want to become a senior partner, how do we get to the next level? Or you are a vice president and you really would like to get to executive vice president.
Right, right.
How do we get you there?
That's cool. And so that's pretty focused and specific.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you every start, client is different.
Right. So, I mean, obviously their personal life, their business life, their goals. And starting with that first 2 to 3 hours where you're face-to-face, I can imagine. Bruce, you do the same thing. You do the initial engagements, and they're pretty lengthy, correct?
Yeah. And with my C-suite guys, they're 6-month contracts, but I'll fly out. And probably twice, I'll do the initial, and then I'll do a 360 evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll interview spouses, subordinates, peers, you know, who all I can get my hands on. Kind of do that Johari window, you know, what you know about yourself, what others know about you, and what you, you know, what others know that you don't know, and all that type of thing.
Yes.
And getting all that. Sometimes I'll do a Hogan. Sometimes I'll do some other, you know, assessment work. Or a strengths finder or something like that. Just like you said, it depends on the partner. There's a difference between a junior partner. I do a lot of big four work too. I get a guy who's a junior partner versus a senior partner. I mean, their mindset's
different.
A lot of times they transition from coming as an employee to a partner, having an ownership mindset. So 6 months. One of the funny things international is was involved, but Carlos Slim from Mexico sent a bunch of soldiers here to shut down CompUSA, which was a brand. And it was very interesting. I had to work with his soldiers in shutting down these stores and relieving these people of their jobs. It was kind of an anti-coaching assignment of sorts. So that was interesting. And then here recently, one of my big four guys, we had stateside partners and partners abroad. And the partner abroad in France was a complete horse's ass, right? I mean, yelling, screaming, boundary violating behavior. It was really interesting how I had, you know, went through the mothership and said, hey, we need to call this guy on the carpet. And they're like, well, you know, we don't really have the same control over those partners as we do our partners here in the States. So it's really interesting when you get into these foreign, you know, engagements that are hybrids with this country. Now that we have a global environment and I'm doing stuff with Brexit and stuff like that, it's really interesting having to negotiate the cultural, you know, differences where it's okay to yell and scream and say hateful things about women in one culture and it's not here. So it's always been an interesting challenge coaching my executives on how to deal with the boundary violating behavior from the other end and or vice versa is to not violate too many boundaries as you're shutting down every CompUSA store. But anyway, I kind of feel you there with that 6 month run and the international components, a lot of challenges in that.
Well, what I like, what you just said is something that is becoming rare. I'm really happy to hear that you do it as well. When you talk about 360, Bruce, and you interview the actual people, you, if you're in some instances, you speak to the wife, you speak to the peers, you speak to a few direct reports and a superior. I do too. I mean, I just call that human 360. Unless an organization insists on using past data or insists on using a written 360, I much prefer to have that human interaction with these individuals.
Sure.
Don't you find the data, the human element that you get from those that you interview allow you to assist your client much more than a paper 360?
Yeah, hands down, having the testimony and And me coming from a criminal justice background, is really easy to get these people to talk. But yeah, and having all that testimony there, really, you could do a whole coaching plan for a good year, you know, based off of the data points, you know, garnered from that human interaction. So yeah, I mean, really, that's priceless. I think that information is better than any empirically driven instrument, or you know, I love empirically driven instrument data. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, the feedback from the human 360 and those human inputs are, you just can't replace that.
How receptive? Yeah. I'm sorry, Patricia. I was wondering how receptive is the C-suite executive to having that evaluation done and connecting with all of their key people.
Well. You know,
are they open?
They usually are, but again, it's after the trust has been built. When the trust has been built and they realize that you as the coach have their best interest in mind and
right.
the enterprise, you know, we're there at also at the behest of the organization. But when they trust you, then they trust the process and they want you to speak to these individuals that are in their sphere of influence. And of course, you put the feedback in themes, so there is that anonymity still based on what these individuals contribute
right.
to the line of questioning. And you put it in themes, and you know what? By the time you conduct these interviews, it is corroborating what the leader themselves has already revealed by now.
Okay.
You know, they know where their strengths are and where they want to go, and whether they realize it or not, it is evident to everyone around them.
Right, right. So it's stuff it's not surprise stuff.
It's rarely a surprise, and when it is, it means it must be attended to. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. So, I like that. It's urgent, right? It's urgent.
Yeah.
If they're unaware, it's urgent.
Yes. And, you know, that's, Bruce was talking about assessments. I usually kick off mine with a terrific total person assessment called the PXT, which I get from a group of leadership strategies in Arizona. I start with a PXT, which is thinking style, behavioral approach, and interests. And it's not a competency. It's not personality test. It's total person, thinking, behavioral, and interests. And it gives a great foundational stone for executive coaching. Work with emotional intelligence a lot, because therein lies the key to how well you understand yourself, how in tune you are to how you are perceived by others,
mm-hmm.
how able are you to self-regulate.
Very important.
And build relationships. And then I have a cultural assessment called the Global Work Styles Inventory, and that is culture specific. How have you developed your business style? Your culture shows through your values, which shows through your business style. So
is that a standardized measure by some company?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So it's nice to have this data, because they themselves take these assessments. I'm sure you use many as well. Bruce, you mentioned some. And it's great for us to say, these are your results. Now, what do we do with this? Most people are very open to the data. And then we work with the interpersonal coaching to reach their goals.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How much of your schedule is domestic versus global?
Right now, it's 50-50.
Okay.
50-50. I'm based in Dallas, and there are international clients right here in Dallas, which is great.
That's awesome.
In that case, Yeah, in that case, well, it's not as global as Los Angeles. Okay, let's face it, but it is. It's a major metroplex, and the international clients are great. And in that case, I meet every month face to face.
And is that for ongoing engagements? You know, initial face to face or ongoing? If it's local,
ongoing, okay. Cindy, I meet face to face. Every month.
Okay, fabulous.
You know, my effective hourly rate probably goes through the floor, but if they are local, I want to be able to be there face-to-face. And again, we'll meet over lunch for an hour and a half. They're longer engagements. And then when we can't meet face-to-face, it's a call. And it'll be, for some of them, it's 30 minutes. And for others, it's an hour.
Right. I think for me, I feel the same way. Face-to-face typically goes over. It's longer. You know, it takes time for them to get there, you know, that kind of thing. So it's always a longer period of time that I have to pencil in for somebody who's face-to-face versus over the phone.
And how do you deal with that in Los Angeles? You have traffic like no
right.
other place on earth.
It's crazy. I have found over the last, I would say, several years, it's merging more to phone because even if they're, you know, within 30, 45 minutes sometimes with traffic, they have to calculate all that in. And a lot of them over time are opting to do it by phone because they already know me. You know what I mean? So that initial connection has happened. And I agree with that face-to-face. It's hard. I prefer that, to have at least an initial engagement where you get to know each other and that connection and trust is established. But traffic is it's a problem. And so people really have to calculate getting ready, getting there. And, you know, traffic, they can be late. So it's just, it's becoming more inconvenient for the clients is what it's really about. Yeah.
Have you ever been halfway to a client and it's impossible to make it due to your traffic and you just call and start on the phone? I mean, how do you handle that?
You know, I haven't had that happen because I have an office and typically they're coming to me. So whether it's on the phone, but what is happening over time, what I've seen over the last few, it's moving more to phone than office appointments because the traffic is getting worse over time. It has really changed in the last, I would say, 3 to 5 years significantly, and getting more and more over, you know, just more impacted over time. So it does affect how quickly somebody can get to you. And it takes up more, really, if you think about the time it takes them, it's a lot. You know, they'd be better served booking longer phone sessions, you know, the time it takes to get there and back.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, think of the people that are listening right now. I don't know. Have you ever looked into this? What percentage are in the car listening to the concierge coach? I mean, I think probably many are in their car learning as they drive.
Oh, yeah. People listen to a lot of radio and iPods because, you know, I mean, I talk to people all the time about traffic in Southern California. It's a topic that comes up a lot. And, It's crazy how long it can take you to get from point A to point B, and depending on the time of day. So here it used to be a window of, you know, 9 to 3, then it got 10 to 2. Now I'm not sure there is a window anymore. I'm really not sure.
Think of it.
Yeah, it's really a crapshoot. You get on the road and you just don't know. So yeah, I have had people who are on the road calling me because they can't get there, you know, that kind of thing. And we sort of are pretty flexible out here about it because, you know, and have been for as long as I can remember. People are pretty flexible with timing because they know that some of it's out of your control, you know. So Dallas has its traffic
control too,
right?
Yes, and that's what makes blood pressure rise when it's out of your control. So
yeah, it does affect people. So I think it's wonderful that you're able to do Skype, and you know, obviously you can't just jump on a plane and get to every session with every client that you have. So I think we're blessed with that technology, you know, the phone, the Skype, email, so that we can stay in touch, texting. I have a lot of clients texting me, you know, and phone calls, you know, of course. And really, I find that conversation, you know, where I used to think everything had to be in person for years. I find that that phone conversation can be very, very centered. I can really feel my clients. A lot of times I close my eyes. I ask them to do it when they need to just calm initially at the beginning of sessions. And I think you really can be connected in just voice. It's weird. I never expected it to be feel so connected. And I'm sure you feel the same way when you're Skyping clients or talking on the phone.
Yes, and I think also part of coaching is making sure that there is room for silence and room for reflection, and we learn as coaches to not jump in and ask for a speedy response. In order for somebody to discover for themselves what they really think. I love it when I ask a question and they stop and they pause, and all they can say is, "Wow, I need to think about that." I mean, that's our job as coaches, to make them slow down, stop, take the time during our session to answer questions. Sometimes, you know, if I'm working with a leader that really thinks he wants to get to the next level and wants that next title so badly, and we ask questions as to what is underneath this goal, why, what will that look like, how, pretend you already have it,
how do the you visualization
feel now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love visualization. How pretend you already have it, tell me how you feel. And can you just sense that there is a pause? No one has ever asked them, pretend you already have it. And what does it look like? Are you happy? Is it what you thought? Mm-hmm, and sometimes you get the answers, wow, okay, putting myself in that position, I'm not sure. And that's what we talk about. And speaking of visualizations, one that I use a lot when my clients are very stressed, they have something coming ahead, but that lies ahead, they're not sure how they'll make it through, particularly my male clients. Bruce, you probably have in your back pocket some ahas ready to go. I use a scene from Gladiator. And all of my male clients have seen Gladiator. Yeah. And I ask them, they all smile, oh, yes, Patricia, oh, yes, I love that movie. It's either Gladiator or Braveheart.
That's
so
a good
I use
one, too.
I will say, remember the speech that Maximus gives to his direct reports. I have to bring it back to their reality. Do you recall the speech that Maximus gives to his lieutenants as they're ready to face the barbarian horde at the beginning of the film? Bruce, do you remember this scene?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Roman phalanx is all lined up, and off in the distance in the hills are these barbaric animal skin clad rabble rousers facing the Romans, and they are scared. They've seen the damage that the Germanic hordes can wreak, and they are scared. So Maximus takes his direct reports and says, "Gentlemen, in 3 weeks' time, I will be at home harvesting my fields. Think where you shall be in 3 weeks' time, and it shall be so. And if you wake up and find yourself in fields of gold, relax, for you are in Elysium, and you are already dead." So if that sounds strange, it makes everybody laugh. They say, "Oh my God, you're right. Think where I shall be after this challenge, and it shall be so. It's positive visualization to get through a challenging time. Maximus wants to get through the battle. He's expecting to survive, and he expects to be home, happy with his wife, harvesting his fields in 3 weeks' time.
I love that.
And of course, men, I coach a lot of women as well, but for men, it helps them connect with a strong leader who has a vision for himself and his troops or his direct reports. And how do we reach success? So if they have to reach their numbers, if they have to add clients, what is the goal? And I just love to use that as an example. And we have a lot of fun with it. And then many of them say, I'm going to go back and watch that movie.
And it helps you just put, you know, like, no, once you push through something, you're going to get to the other side where it's comfortable again. I love it. It's a visualization that I think could work for anybody through anything that you're up in, you know, something, a stressful period or project or whatever it is that has you pressed and anxious now. I think it's a great tool.
And think of people who are facing, you know, a life-threatening surgery. If you have a client, if you have a life coach client that is really nervous about making it through a tough surgery, by coming up with a visualization as you coach them, wow, of course you'll get through this, because in 3 weeks or 2 weeks, you will be back home with your kids making Christmas cookies.
Exactly. I just had somebody on the phone this morning that I was doing something similar to get them to the other side of what was going on. Yeah. You know, because, you know, you get into the negativity, and everybody does when they're in fear or anxious, and you lock in there. But there's always a sort of the opposite to the negative. You know what I mean? And if they use that counter, whether it's a list, a visualization, you know, anything to counter that negative at the time, it really does calm people down.
Yes. Yes, it makes a big difference. And Bruce, you mentioned you work with strengths finders, and I do as well. And one of the strengths, I believe there's 26 or 28 strengths, I don't recall, but one of them is positivity. And, you know, some people right out of the box have that positivity, and others would really like to add it to their attitude skill set. And positive visualization is one way to help get them there.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's just another tool of coaching.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, now, do you have a website that folks can find you at?
Oh, thanks. Well, yes, I do. It's called interculturalconsulting.com. It's www.interculturalconsulting.com. It's not fancy. It's a simple website. And, you know, it indicates that the work that I do is strategy. I do strategy consulting as well. Strategy consulting, executive coaching, and leadership development. And I have a team of individuals that also collaborate on projects depending on you know, client needs in those three areas.
Okay.
Strategy meaning helping organizations identify their vision and mission. Talk about vision, but getting their organizations to focus and align behind a workable vision and mission. So it's all interrelated and all connected to coaching in some way, but those are the three areas, because I've had this business for nearly 20 years, and the executive coaching is just taking on a larger and larger and larger percentage of my time, and happily, I love it. So
That's nice. Yeah. It's heartfelt. It's heart. Then I think those do parallel really well, the strategy, the executive coaching and leadership development, because people are always trying to get to the next level. You know what I mean? That's a big, big part of coaching. Business coaching is people moving to the next level of accomplishment, you know. So that's exciting. It sounds like you absolutely love what you do. You're very knowledgeable. And I love that you have this love of language that really makes people feel comfortable. And when you work domestically in terms of executives assimilating culturally, maybe they've got transferred here by their company. Is that typically how it works?
Well, yes. Yes, it is. What happens is you will say you'll have a CFO from France and a CEO who is U.S., and fundamental differences in management style and communication style and what's appropriate and what's not, how to lead, how to be led, fundamentally different.
Yeah.
It turns into behavioral obstacles, let's say.
Yeah, yeah.
Behavioral obstacles. And they don't believe it's culture until I get in there and say, ladies or gentlemen, let's have a conversation. I work with each of them separately, help them see themselves in the proverbial mirror to understand themselves and their cultural perspective and how they work. We all think the way we work is normal. Well, when you encounter different cultures, it's anything but normal.
Right.
What's normal? It's the way you were raised and educated,
yes.
What you studied, where you studied, what part of the United States you're from.
Mm-hmm.
It all shows up in our work, though.
Yeah, yeah, it's so real. I'm dealing with that currently in a project, and it's so interesting to me, the cultural differences and the way you go to business. It's crazy different. So that can be challenging for people and really a struggle that maybe doesn't need to happen if they understood each other better.
Right. You just have to be willing to say, okay, my way is not the only way. Mm-hmm. Help me understand what your approach is. Let me share with you what my approach is. Let's be able to, acknowledge the strengths in each other's approach.
Yeah, yeah.
Many
you took times, the words out of my mouth. Yeah. And
yeah.
Sometimes people have a hard time with that. Like, is there a middle road? I mean, like, especially if you're on an executive team, for God's sake, it's like, you better find a middle road, take the strengths from each. But often people, they just don't want to do that. They'll shut down. They either, you know, just kind of give up and just let the one stronger person take over. You know what I mean? I'm sure you've seen that.
Well, I have, and then, you know, need we say more, shutting down also impacts your level of engagement. When your engagement goes down, your productivity goes down.
Yes, yes.
It's a bad spiral.
Mm-hmm. It's not the approach to take. Is that what you would say, Patricia?
Yes, it's not the approach to take.
Not the door to open, right? But sometimes...
No, ma'am.
The people, they actually don't know how else to handle it because it will get confrontational. So they shut down because it feels like a no-win at the time. So coaching can really help you see that you don't have to shut down. More communication, more understanding needs to happen. And meeting in the middle, because one doesn't have to override the other necessarily to be effective as a whole, you know, as a team.
Absolutely right. And you get each person to the breakthrough point where they realize, oh my goodness, I am part of the problem. Wow, I didn't think I was.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough for a lot of people to really take a look at, you know.
Yeah.
And they have to trust the partners on the team. You know, that's another part of it. So I'm sure you come in the engagement as they're launching, you know, like if somebody's coming over domestically and merging into a team, is that when you initially get involved? Because I would think that's the most important time.
Oh, it would be the most important time, but few organizations recognize that. They don't come requesting the assistance of an executive coach until there are issues. And it, in this situation, yes. And that's when, you know, there's a Chinese proverb, the best time to plant a tree is either 20 years ago or today. So if the tree wasn't planted 20 years ago, let's get it in the ground.
Right now.
And for executive coaching, you know, let's not wait. If it didn't happen early on in the onboarding process, let's get going right now.
Yeah. Because there's some cleaning up to do. So it must be very much fun. Very much fun. Yeah. It's really fabulous to have you on today and just to take a little slice into your world, your day to day. And it sounds like a very rewarding career for the last 20 years for you. Are there any things you'd like to accomplish moving forward yourself in your business?
Well, I'd like to keep doing what I'm doing, Cindy. I love what I do, and I know you love what you do, and Bruce does the same. So keep doing what I'm doing, and as long as I can add value and help individuals define for themselves what success will be and help them get there, that makes me happy.
Yeah, I totally resonate with that. Thank you so much. Is the website the best place for people to reach out to you, Patricia?
Well, I have a Gmail, which is easier to remember. And then I have my company email. But my Gmail is patriciahayden1@gmail.com. Patricia Hayden, H-A-Y-D-E-N, 1@gmail. And then my business is P, as in Patricia, P Hayden at interculturalconsulting.com. All one word.
All right. Got it. Consulting.com.
Yes, it's easy to misspell. If you can believe it, people want to buy this. You know, people want to buy your domain name. I can't imagine why it is so long, but it is my company name.
They still want it, right? That's funny. But it's yours. It's yours.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We so appreciate it, and it's been a pleasure to hear about your business and how you're helping executives internationally. Keep up the good work, honey.
Well, I thank you and hope to see both of you soon. Come to Texas, or I will be out in L.A.
All right. Sounds good, Patricia. Take care of yourself.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was awesome. She was such a great guest. And
yeah, she's a fabulous person.
Yeah. So good to get someone that seeing some of the executives. That's always a good perspective. And I was just nodding my head the whole time, like, yep, that's right. Yep. That's kind of in line with my thinking. So really good to find a like-minded individual out there doing this work.
I love it. And, you know, you could just hear the passion. You know, she loves the work she does. And I love her story of how she discovered her kind of a love of language at such an early age and how she wove that into her professional career. I love that, you know, because a lot of people do find things that resonate that they are drawn to and weave them into their career path. And I think she did a beautiful job of that.
She did a great job of that. So.
Yes.
We better wrap it up. So, folks, man, that was another great show here today on the Concierge Coaches Show. And, of course, you can reach me at conciergecoach.net or at Twitter at Cameron Coaches. And, Cindy, what's your contact information?
My website is Wisdom Foods, www.wisdomfoods.com. And I can be reached at wisdomfoods@AOL.com and 714-943-6206. I appreciate everybody coming on, listening in today, and look forward to next week. Hope everybody has a happy Tuesday.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.